The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
Good morning. Good to have you here today. You know, we've been talking, this series, God of the City, we've been talking about reaching out to people in need, reaching out to people around us. And, you know, I think sometimes we don't realize why. I think sometimes we forget about why we're doing it. And so we want to take kind of a different turn this morning. We want to talk about the cracked pots. The cracked pots around. Now, I'm not saying crackpots. I work at the sheriff's office. I see a lot of those. I work with a lot of those. Okay, no, not crackpots. Cracked pots. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And I know what you're doing in my own heart. God, I pray that you'll continue this work. Speak to the people here this morning. Lord, let them hear from you. We ask it in your name. Amen. Speaking out of Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. God told Jeremiah, up on your feet. Go to the potter's house. When you get there, I'll tell you what I have to say. Let me give you a little background here. Israel is in ruins. One of the many times Israel was in ruins. Israel in the Old Testament, you ever read the Old Testament, it's like Israel rode a roller coaster. A lot of downs. You know, they'd find themselves sold into slavery or you know, bad things would happen. And then God would bail them out. And they'd be good for a while, and then the longer things went good, the better, the worse they got. And eventually, they'd find themselves in slavery again. And this is one of those times when they're in slavery, and Jeremiah is like, you know what? This is it. God's not going to go any further with us. God's just not going to keep putting up with us. And you know, if God had turned his back on Israel at that point, they would have deserved it. So Jeremiah is depressed. And he's in kind of a funk, and he's saying, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm afraid God's going to, you know, pitch us out now. He's going to kick us out, and he's not going to mess with us anymore. So he's in a really depressed state. And that's where we find him. It says, God told Jeremiah, get on your feet. Go to the potter's house. When you get there, I'll tell you what I have to say. So I went to the potter's house. Now, this is a guy who's making pots out of clay. You know the process, right? You got the wheel spinning. And if you've ever watched... What's that movie? Ghost. Yeah. What's the song that played in the background? Somebody's singing it over here. All right. So I went to the potter's house, and sure enough, a ghost was singing. No, the potter was there working away at his wheel. Whenever the potter was working on turned out badly, as sometimes happens when you're working with clay, the potter would simply start over and use the same clay to make another pot. Then God's message came to me, and here's the message for us this morning. Can't I do just as this potter does, people of Israel? God's decree, watch this potter. In the same way that this potter works as clay, I will work on you, people of Israel. You ever felt like a complete failure? You ever contemplated suicide? I was 16. I had a 65 Rambler Classic. Fine automobile. No, not really. I take it back. I was 17. And here's what's weird. I was willing to end my life, and for the life of me, I can't even remember why. I'm sure a girl was involved, though. I was going to drive into a telephone pole, because I'd seen photos of that during driver's ed class, and I was pretty sure that would work. Especially in his 65 Rambler Classic, seat belts optional. And I chickened out at the last minute and just creased the fender of my car against the telephone pole. So now whatever problem I had is made worse because I've got a crease in the fender of my car that I have explained to my mom. You know, when I talk to high school kids, I tell them, you know, that's the sad part is, here I was willing to end my life. I can't even remember what it was all about now. So how important was it? But when you're 16, everything's important. You ever feel like a failure, though? You ever feel like life has passed you by? Let me tell you something. There are people outside of this building, and maybe inside this building this morning, who feel like life is not so good. There are people that struggle with feelings of depression, people who feel like their life is worthless. They feel like they're hopeless. Oh, they had dreams at one point. They wanted the big house. They wanted the great job. They wanted, you know, the 2.3 perfect children. I'm still not sure about how that statistic works out because I've never seen 0.3 of a child. I don't know. And they had it all figured out, and then that's not what they ended up with. They don't have the perfect job. They don't have the perfect house. They're renting a crummy apartment, or they're doing this, or they're doing that, or their marriage is shattered, their life is shattered, and they don't have a job, or they're working at some substandard thing, and they know they could do better, but they can't find anything. And they just feel like it's all over with. Let me tell you something, folks. There are people that need Jesus. This whole God of this city series, this whole thing, it's all about... The reason we're here this morning, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to have church just so a whole bunch of Christians come every Sunday. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not telling you to stay home. No, you need to come here. But you come here to get filled up. This is the service station. You come here to get fueled up for the week, so that you can go out to the people that are outside of these walls that don't know what that last song that we just sang. They don't understand what that means because they don't have a God to hear their prayers. And they're lost. And they're hopeless. And they don't know what to do. Last Sunday after church, I drove all the way to Palo Verde because a man put a shotgun to his head and killed himself. His life was over. I see it all the time. Joanna, we see it all the time. We see it more than we want to. And I got to be honest with you, those are the few crime scenes that when I walk onto the crime scene, I look around and I think, if only Jesus had been here. Now, he was there, that people just didn't know. If only they could have known the peace that I have. The peace that keeps you from putting the gun to your head. The peace that keeps you from aiming your car at a telephone pole. If only they had known. And that stiffens my resolve to make sure that Remnant never becomes the kind of church where people just come to hang out with their friends. It stiffens my resolve to make sure that Remnant is the kind of church that reaches out to the people of this city and says, we've got a message of hope. We've got a message of peace. And it's there for you. But folks, they're not going to come to us. We've got to go to them. So what do we learn from the Potter's House? Well, first thing you need to know is that God can remake your cup. Every one of us has a life. Our life is a cup. I want you to think in that metaphor today. You ever had a cup with a crack in it? You know, a coffee cup, and they're weird. They're subtle. They get a little crack in them, and you're sitting at your desk, and all of a sudden your desk has got this ring of coffee all around it. You're like, what's going on? You wipe it off, and the coffee comes, and it's got a crack in it, and the water's just seeping through the crack. Well, you just throw the cup away, don't you? If you're the potter, though, you can reuse that clay before it gets hardened and fired and stuff. But you can reuse clay. So God can remake your cup. See, the clay on the wheel sometimes becomes marred or damaged or defaced. You ever try to work clay? We made those ashtrays when we were kids. You ever do that in Royal Rangers or Cub Scouts or something? Make an ashtray. And it's an ashtray only because you say it's an ashtray? It bears no real resemblance to an ashtray. It's a piece of clay and it's got like fingerprints and thumbprints all in it and stuff. What is it? It's an ashtray. Oh, good. I don't know what else you'd put in it. Gum, maybe. Yeah, and you try and do it. See, I'm not a real artsy, craftsy guy. I can do some things, but to mold a piece of clay into a fancy bowl or something, that's not going to happen. I can almost guarantee you, you're never going to see Jerry Godsey sitting at a potter's wheel doing that foot pump thing and, you know, making a pot saying, oh, how beautiful. No. First of all, I have no patience for it. Second of all, I'll break it. But you'll see them, even the best potters, they'll go through it and they'll start turning it and all of a sudden they make a mistake. Or the clay will collapse in on itself. And what do? They don't throw the clay away. Clay is expensive. That clay is worth something. Even though it's messed up, that clay is worth something. No. They take this little piece of wire and they cut it off the bottom and they take that clay and they put it back on a table and they just pound the snot out of it. Actually, what they're doing is pounding the air out of it. They throw it back on the wheel and they start again. See, it's easy for us to think that our lives are marred beyond repair. It's easy for us to sit here and think, yeah, but Jerry, you don't know what I've done. You're right. I don't. That's not important. Understand, you're sitting here this morning. God can remake your life. Now, he may have to pound the snot out of you to do it. Anybody ever feel like God was pounding the snot out of him? I have. Yeah, some people get that little slap to wake them up. I get hit with the 2x4. I get hit with the 12x12, the big artillery, because sometimes I'm stubborn. I know, it's a shock to some of you, but yes, I can be stubborn. See, God, Jeremiah was upset because he saw God's chosen people acting like it was nothing. God had laid out this beautiful feast in front of them. They're eating candy corn instead. God had given them diamonds, and they're playing marbles with it. And Jeremiah said, God is just going to, he's going to pitch us out. He's going to get rid of us. That's when God told him to go to the potter's house, because what did Jeremiah see at the potter's house? He saw clay that was marred, just like Israel was marred. Just like our lives can get marred, can get damaged, can get defaced. And they don't look pretty anymore. And they got like scars and gouges and ugly parts about them. God took that same clay and he molded it. He made it into something. Every turn of the wheel of your life, God's been touching your clay. Sometimes you got stubborn and kind of forced away and then you had to pay some price. Let's be honest, there are times when we do things that are wrong. We cause our own cup to get cracked. We cause our clay to get marred or damaged, and God has to pick up the pieces around us. And we carry those scars. I carry scars of the things that I've done. You can't see them all, but I carry them. God is able to take that and fix us. I want you to imagine if we had a sign out in front of Remnant every Sunday and it said, marred pots, come home. Marred pots, come to the potter's house. Whatever problem you have, come to the potter's house. Whatever thing you think is going on in your life that has caused your life to be damaged or scarred or broken, come to the potter's house, because God can fix it. God can remake it. If you feel hopeless, come to the potter's house. If you feel helpless, come to the potter's house. If you feel burdened down, come to the potter's house. If you have attitudes that need to be changed, come to the potter's house. If you have sin that you feel is controlling your life, just come to the potter's house. If you find it hard to forgive others, come to the potter's house. if you feel that nobody loves you, that nobody cares about you, come to the potter's house. Now I want you to fix that message a little bit, and you need to tell the people around you, if you feel hopeless, come to Remnant. If you feel like your life is marred and damaged, come to Remnant. That's what this church has to be. It has to be a beacon of hope, a beacon of peace and healing for the people who are hurt and damaged and marred by this world. Folks, if we're not going to be that, let's close the doors. Let's sell all the equipment and go on about our business. Because once church quits being a place for hurting and broken people, we're no longer church. Feel where I'm going with this? This is why we exist. Martin Luther said this. Look, check out this great quote. God then is more earnest for me to be saved than I am to be saved. I love the story of the prodigal son. Jesus told this parable. Prodigal son comes and tells his dad, basically, hey, Dad, I'm tired of waiting for you to die. Nice kid. Can I have my inheritance early? And the dad gives it to him. Now, that's not what I would have done for my sons. No, you can't have the inheritance early. In fact, you don't have an inheritance anymore. That's just me. He gives the kid his inheritance early and he wastes it. He blows it. And he ends up feeding pigs, which for a little Jewish kid, that's the worst thing you can have. You're feeding pigs that you can't even eat. So he practices his speech, and I love the way the New Testament says it. It says, when he came to his senses, he had one of those, what a moron moments. You ever get those? I get them a lot. Man, I could have had a V8. Hey, I could be home. I don't have to be here. And he says, you know what? I'll go home. And he practices this speech with his dad. Oh, you know, Dad, I'm not worthy to be your child anymore. I'll just be one of your servants. And he's going on and on. But the Bible says, while he was coming down the road, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Now, let me tell you something. I picture this dad. The first day the kid leaves, the dad goes to bed that night, and the last thing on his mind is, I wonder if he'll come home tomorrow. Is he gonna get his act together and come home tomorrow? He wakes up the next morning, and he drinks his coffee before starting his chores, and he drinks his coffee on the porch, and he's looking down the road in the direction where his kid went. And at night, he's drinking a glass of iced tea on the porch, and he's looking down the road, listening to the radio or whatever. Looking down the road, waiting, because he knows the kid's going to come home. He walks inside the house, he says, maybe tomorrow. And every day, every morning, every night, he's watching for this kid to come home. Finally, the kid comes to his senses, he comes home. And while he was still afar off, his dad ran to him and embraced him. His father was more willing, wanted more for that kid to come home than that kid wanted to come home. Finally, he came home out of desperation. But he was welcomed. And I'm telling you here this morning that even if you come to God this morning out of desperation, God has been waiting for you to come home every morning, every night, watching all day, looking down that road, wondering if you're going to finally get your act together and come find him. Wondering if you're finally going to say, man, I have had enough of this jive. I need God. And there are people who come to God a lot sooner than that. There are some people who have to be on the bottom of the barrel looking up to say, you know what? Yeah, this isn't working. I need God. God is more earnest that you be saved than you are to be saved. John 3:16, this is how much God loved the world. He gave His Son, His one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. I love that. God didn't love just the saints. He didn't love people, just people who repent. He didn't love just the religious. He didn't love just those who love him. God loved the world. Everybody in it. The agnostic, the atheist, the anti-religious. God loved Adolf Hitler. God loves Osama bin Laden. He may be the only one, but God loves Osama bin Laden. I got a newsflash for you. If Osama bin Laden came to the Lord and said, Jesus, I want to be forgiven, God would forgive him. Now, there are a lot of people in the military who might think twice, but God would forgive him. And you know what? As Christians, we'd have to open our arms. Oh man, I just lost a bunch of you. Listen to me. We would have to open our arms. Why? Because God's in the forgiving business and we're not in the judging business. If a prostitute came through our doors, we'd have to open our arms. Steve Camp told the story. I told you the story before. Steve Camp told the story of doing a concert in San Francisco, and this was early in the AIDS crisis. He was in a room full of pastors, and some guys came in, and they were from a home, and they had AIDS. They'd given their hearts to Christ, and God had changed their lives, but they had AIDS still. Remember I talked about sometimes sin carries a price? And the concert getting ready to start, Steve says, let's hold hands and pray. And the pastors wouldn't hold hands with the AIDS patients. Steve Camp looked over. He put his arms around the AIDS patients. He said, I'm sorry, guys. I thought I was in a room full of Christians. Hello? So you got real quiet right then. Hey, we got to have open arms. Because their sin isn't any different than your sin. Their sin, what? They've done something wrong? Anybody here not ever done anything wrong? Anybody here want to put their life up to that scrutiny? Not me. I'll readily admit my sin. God didn't give us just a promise. He didn't give us an angel to teach us. He didn't give a world to ransom us. He gave his only son. God can remake your cup. You may think you're not worth anything. God begs to differ. In fact, you were worth so much, he gave his only son to die for you. Second thing is that God can fix your broken cup. He can remake it, but he can also fix it. He doesn't throw the clay away, he repairs it. See, if you're in the wheel and you get a gouge in the clay, if you're skillful, you can just kind of run your hand on it and fix it. When they cast bells, sometimes bells will crack. And once a bell is cracked, there's a couple of ways to fix it. The one way to fix it is you put metal bands around it, tighten the metal bands up. And unfortunately, that really doesn't work. Because it changes the tone of the bell. It's not pretty anymore. It's got kind of a dull thud to it. The best way to fix a bell that's really got a crack in it is to melt it down, recast it, and start all over again. If you've got a life that's broken today, you got a crack in your life, maybe you're controlled by a certain sin, maybe you've got an issue, a problem in your life, God can fix it. Now, you can do it one of two ways. You can try and do it with a bunch of rules and regulations like we try and do sometimes. We try and fix it with that outward fix. Say, well, I got a problem with this, and so I'm going to fix it by, I'm going to put myself under subjection. I'm going to get some rules and regulations here. It doesn't work. Because you'll try, but eventually you're going to mess up with that. No, the best way for your life to be fixed is for you to let God remake it. Melt you down. That's hard. Nobody enjoys that whole recasting process. That whole process of saying, you know what, God, I need to start all over again. That's how God remakes us. He takes us back to square one and starts all over again with us. Remember hearing my grandfather, one of my heroes of the faith, incredible guy. I was visiting his house when I was in college, and I heard him praying one night. This is a guy who'd been a minister at this point 40-some-odd years. And I heard him praying, God, I want to be saved all over again. I want to feel what it's like to... I feel like I've lost my fervor for you, God, so I want to be saved all over again. And here's my grandpa, a minister for 40 years, telling God he wants to be saved all over again. Wants to feel that new feeling. And he begins to weep. And he begins to laugh. And you could just hear such joy. And I sat in the hallway and just listened. And listened as my grandfather renewed his experience with God. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you told God, God, I want to start all over again? Don't worry about where you think you are spiritually. Say, you know what, God? I want to feel what it's like to be saved all over again. Because let me tell you something. The longer you're saved, the harder it is to remember what it's like when it was all brand new. Lynette and I, Friday, celebrated 27 years of marriage. 27 years. Says an awful lot about her patience. Get some murmurs out there. 27 years. I would be lying if I said that the way I feel about her now is the way I felt about her then. We got a lot of water under the bridge. We got kids. We've had fights. You know what? I don't love her the same as I did then. I love her more. I love her differently. I still get that little curl in my toes when I think about her. Hey, that's right, baby. That's the way it ought to be. When's the last time you got that feeling in the pit of your stomach about God? When's the last time you thought of Jesus and it just made you feel like, wow, that's cool? We can't afford to grow jaded. We've got to let Him remake our cup. We've got to let Him totally change us around. A psychiatrist visited a rescue mission, and these guys had been in all kinds of things. He listened to the testimonies of the people there. And the guy who ran the rescue mission asked the psychiatrist if he wanted to say anything. And here's what he said. He said, tonight, I've been given an opportunity to observe something I didn't know existed anywhere. It's been my privilege to listen to the testimony of men who were glad to witness what Christ had done for them. I know nothing about that. But I confess, I cannot otherwise explain what's taken place in their lives. A few of these men I recognize as drunkards, even as dope addicts. Some of them have come under my observation at the hospital. But here they are, alive, well-dressed, delivered in their right minds. I don't know how the miracle has been wrought, but one thing I am confident. Nothing in science can account for this change in them. That kind of gospel is worth preaching to anyone, anywhere. Jesus is in the life-changing business, but He's not going to put Band-Aids on you. He's going to melt you down and start you all over again. Recast you. Finally, God can fill your remade cup. God doesn't want to just fix or remake your cup. He wants to fill it with something more. See, nature hates a vacuum. And we have people who are so busy not doing the don'ts. You ever have a list of do's and don'ts? They're so busy not doing the don'ts that they forget that there's a whole list of do's that they need to do as well. They're so busy worrying about the past that they're over and trying not to do those sins again, they forget that there's a whole bunch of joy and peace and great things on this side. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life, life more abundant. I've come that they may have life and even a better life. If you're, you know, if you're reading it, it would say, I came that they may have life, comma, and even a better life. What side of the comma are you on? Some people are just living. You ever know some people just live? Get up in the morning, go to work, come home at night, watch TV, go to bed. Next morning, bup, 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 and they just go on and on and on and on. Their life is just this big, like rats in a maze. All right, they're going this way, going this way, going this way. I always feel bad about those little hamsters. They put those hamsters in the ball. And the little ball rolls around. But it's not going anywhere, really. It's not doing anything. You ever feel like one of those hamsters? Or even worse than the little wheel? We used to have mice. We put them in the wheel. And they were hauling. They were going fast in that wheel. The wheel in the middle of the night. Here, wee, 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 wee. I don't know if it's the mouse or the wheel, but something was squeaking in there. And they're going so fast, and they're not going anywhere. A lot of people are like that. See, you can't just tread water. You got to let Christ fill you up with something great, and that's what he wants to do. He's going to take away your hopelessness and your pain and your sorrow and all the things that have hurt you. What's he going to fill it up with? Peace, joy, love, patience, virtue, grace, mercy. Hey, God's not just in the business of fixing cups. He wants to fill them with something. He wants your life to be so full of his Spirit that when you walk around, people say, I've got to have what that guy has. I don't know what's going on in her life, but I need some of that. The greatest compliment a Christian can be paid is when somebody tells them, you know what? It always makes me happy to see you. When I see you, I feel Jesus. Wow. That's what it ought to be. A king wanted to express affection for a private in his army. The private had saved his son's life. And the king wanted to give him a gift, so he called the soldier out of the ranks, and he gave him a beautiful cup. It had jewels all over it. In fact, it was the king's own cup. This poor little lowly private in the army, he looked at it and he said, sir, that's too great a gift for me to receive. That's far too great for me. The king said, it's not too great for me to give. It's not too great for me to give. You may not think you're worth God giving you all the things he wants to give you, but they're not too great for him to give. See, I don't understand this kind of love for me. I grew up in a Christian home. My grandfather, my uncle were both pastors. But with all of that, my life was broken. I was empty. I had to come to Jesus. God took all the broken pieces of my life, all the places where I was bitter and angry and hurt. God melted me down and recast me, just like that bell. God took the pieces of clay in my life that were broken, and he made me into something brand new. Whenever you see a vase that's pretty, what you're seeing is the workmanship of the potter. When people see your life full of joy, full of peace, full of grace, they're seeing the workmanship of the God you serve. We've got to show people what that is. And the only way to do that is for us to be filled up with Jesus. Your life can be made new again. Your life can be filled with good things. And so can the lives of the people outside of here. You don't need to go to Bible college to tell people about the love of Jesus. You just need to tell them your story. What has God done for you? This whole God of this city thing, this whole idea of reaching out of the city, you know what this is? This is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. I was hungry. I got food to eat here. During the Depression, the guys who were travelers called them hobos. Now we don't call them that. They would mark the fence post or the sidewalk in front of someone's house that was good. Little white X. And that meant that if you were traveling through town, you could find hope there. They would give you something to eat. They wouldn't turn you away. They wouldn't shun you. Shouldn't our lives be marked with a little white X? Shouldn't the people that are lost and hurting and suffering, shouldn't they know that when they look at us, they can find hope? The only way for that to happen is for us to be filled up with Jesus. The only way that can happen is for our lives that were broken and busted into pieces to be remade by Him. I want to show you a video in a second. Bishop T.D. Jakes, and this is actually T.D. Jakes' story. I want you to watch this.
Excuse me, I'm looking for Michelle Jordan.
In case you didn't catch it, the piece of cloth there was the dress she was wearing when her mom's boyfriend raped her when she was 12 years old. She had to lay that on the altar to get past where she was so she could quit looking at her past and start seeing her future. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to ask you a simple question. She had a dress and an incident that kept her from God. What's keeping you?
What part of your past are you holding on to that you don't think God can forgive you of? What part of your past do you think is so big that God can't forgive you? And you drag it around like a weight. You need to know that God is able to take that away. You need to know that God is able to give you peace where you feel turmoil. You need to know that God is able to forgive you of the deepest sin that you think He that maybe you don't think He knows about, but trust me, He knows. And you carry it around like a millstone around your neck, and it weighs you down, and it keeps you from having joy and peace and all these good things, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. You keep shooting yourself in the foot just when you're about to be happy. And God wants you to know today that He can fix that. Just like the potter took the clay that was broken and he fixed it. Just like the bell maker melted down the bell and recast it, made a new bell. God is in the business of fixing. But you've got to give it to Him. You've got to let Him work in your life. Stand with me if you would. As we sing this last song, God of this city. I love the chorus of the song. Greater things have yet to come and greater things will still be done. But today, not greater things yet to become. Not in this city, in me. In me. As you sing this song, this is your song this morning. Listen to me now. This is your song this morning. God, greater things have yet to come in me. I'm going to be recast. I'm going to start all over again, God. God, do it in me. I want you to sing this song. Sing it from the bottom of your heart. And it doesn't matter if you sing well or not. The Bible says make a joyful noise. Doesn't say it has to be on tune. But let this be your anthem this morning. As you go through the week. No, greater things have yet to come in me, God. Greater things have yet to come. Finish the
work you have started in me. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.